coast to coast, pole to pole, all around the world on the internet, and now broadcasted in over 125 countries through the airwaves. Thanks to the marvel of technology, I am coming at you live from my little guest house in Memphis, Tennessee. This is Keith Anthony Blanchard, your host of the Center of Light radio show, Center of Divine Unfoldment and Reinforcement.
Welcome one, welcome all. It is Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, at least in Memphis, Tennessee. My name is Keith Anthony Blanchard. Yes, I sound a little funny. Wow, I just had a serious cold come in for the last couple of days and kicked my pants. And it was relentless. I don't want your sympathy. I just want you a prayer, maybe a cyber hug or something. Welcome to the Center of Light radio show. This thing fires off every Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Some adverts right off the top. Make sure you go to KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com if you have not yet, and download the free Anchoring Heaven on Earth audio meditation. Don't ask me why. You trust me. I know you. That's why you come back often and of a part of our Center of Light family. Go there and download the Anchoring Heaven on Earth meditation. It'll help you get clear. It'll help you align with higher energies that will make your creating, manifesting process in your life a lot simpler. You know, screw that 9-to-5 job crap. Nobody wants that unless you are passionate about what it is you're doing. Speaking of being passionate about what you're doing, if you're looking for your path of passion, one way you can do that is go to www.dowhatyoulovethemovie.com. It's an hour and a half documentary of the story of my life as a full-time musician, best-selling author of The Divine Principle, Anchoring Heaven on Earth, speaker, radio show host, just being able to do what I do, doing what I love, and earning a living and raising a son. Isn't that what we're all here for, to become the embodiments of passion and creativity? And it is my belief, if you do not, for whatever reasons, no right or wrong of it, you do not take on the path of your passion, what's the point, you know, really? So go to dowhatyoulovethemovie.com. Check out the movie. It's from Blue Cast Productions out of New York. Very, very finely made documentary movie. But in the end, the movie's really about you. I am just the example. I am the guy next door. Listen, I may be considered a spiritual guru. And believe me, the ego part of me likes that title. And I enjoy being in that delicious title for a while. But the truth is, the movie is really about you and getting you on your way to living your bliss. That's my gig, is making people happy. And that look in their eye after I see them a couple of months later and know that something I've said, something I've done, just something has changed them in such a way, it makes me feel alive. So go to dowhatyoulovethemovie.com, and also make sure you go to Keith Anthony Blanchard website and download the free Anchoring Heaven on Earth audio meditation. My prayers go out around the country to all those who are affected by those storms that just came blowing through here in the last couple of days. If anyone in your family has been touched, my love and my light goes out to you sincerely and exponentially. Now, let's tell you a little bit about my guest on the show tonight. No, by the way, next week, I think, rumor has it, long time coming. I haven't spoken to this person in many, many years. Cynthia Frances Bacon, if you're in a spiritual movement, that name, somewhere along your path, has tickled the little fuzzy hairs in your ear. Cynthia Frances Bacon, she is truly a delight, very illumined individual. When I mean by illumined, I don't mean better. She has a gift, and she's done her work. She has ascended masters that basically sit her on the sofa and have conversations with her daily. It's going to be an amazing show. We'll talk to Cynthia next week. But tonight, my special guest is Karen Tate. She's from my part of the country in South Louisiana, which is always a joy to play with, to use a word, familiar energies. And we will be discussing, I think, in many of the things, the sacred feminine as an independent scholar, speaker, radio show host, published author, sacred tour leader, and social justice activist. Karen's work for 3 decades has been inspired by her interest and passion for travel. There's that word, passion. That's the magic word. Comparative religions, ancient cultures, women's... there's a mistype here. Women's herstory. Got it. A little twist on words here. Women's herstory, history, and the resurging interest in the rise of the feminine consciousness. Her work combines feminism, spirituality, and uplifting women, all of which are highlighted in her projects. Her first book, Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations, has garnered prestigious endorsements, while her second book, Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth, was a finalist in the National Best Books of 2008 Awards. Her newest book, Goddess Calling, Inspirational Messages and Meditations of Sacred Feminine Liberation Theology, due out in the spring of 2014, wow, we're in the cusp, make sure you pay attention, that book's going to be out soon, is already getting getting rave reviews from her mentors and peers. Her fourth book, the anthology, Voices of Sacred Feminine, Conversations to Reshape Our World, out in the fall of 2014, includes the wisdom of noted visionaries and scholars who she has interviewed. Wow, she's a book writing master. Welcome to the show, Karen Tate. How are you this evening, love?
You know, I'm doing pretty good considering it's a Monday.
Well, we like Mondays here on Center of Light. You are just a busy bee, aren't you? You can write some books, I tell you. How do you find the time to do such?
Well, you know, it goes to what you were just talking about. It goes to finding your passion and, you know, following your passion. Now, I'm not saying I have been lucky enough to support myself doing this. You know, I sort of do this as a sideline, and I had to keep my day job. But, you know, if I only had my day job, if I was just punching that 9 to 5 clock and I didn't have a way to fulfill my passion and, you know, follow my bliss, you know, as Joseph Campbell says, you know, I would be just an empty carcass. And so I think what you said is so important because I think it's really unfortunate that so many of us are sort of like these hamsters on a wheel, you know. The messages we get from traditional society is work, 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 work. You know, we are here to work. And, you know, you even hear people say, well, they say horrible things about people who are on unemployment or people who can't find a job as if, you know, killing yourself working a 40, 50, 60-hour week is what we're put on this planet to do. And I think one of the things about the sacred feminine is, I think the sacred feminine really encourages us to be our authentic self. You know, it isn't that authoritarian father that, is going to put a whooping on you if you don't do exactly what he says and you fit into this narrow little box. It's more the nurturing mother that allows her children to become the best that they can be and find happiness and fulfillment.
Yes, yes, I love that. How long have you been on this path? I know, and it's a silly question because we've all been on that path forever, but my point is, when did this become a conscious decision for you
to study
about the sacred feminine and just spirituality and the path of consciousness in general?
Well, you know, you mentioned, you know, I come from Southeast Louisiana. You know, I grew up in New Orleans, and you know, you're from Tennessee. You lived a lot of your life in New Orleans. You know, that's the Bible Belt. Well, you know, you didn't hear about the sacred feminine in the Bible Belt. You know, the most you heard about was Mary, and Mary is an equal to God, and Mary is a safe archetype or role model for patriarchy, you know, for women to emulate, because yes, she's wonderful, but she's very benign. She's not uppity. She's not going to make any waves. She's kind and gentle, but I can't imagine her out there on the picket line fighting for equal rights and making sure we get a higher minimum wage or help women get the Equal Rights Amendment passed, if you know what I mean. You know, it's more that sort of, I think, female role of subservience, of being in service to the male power. So my spirituality was like most people's spirituality, you know, down in New Orleans. You know, I really didn't meet anybody who had different outlook. You know, everybody was sort of in the same little bubble. You know, they were either Baptist or Catholic, all Christian. Then I'm about 30 years old, and I moved to California. And it just opened up a whole entire new life for me, because I realized there was so much I didn't know. There was so much getting swept beneath the rug. And I'll admit, at first I got really angry, because I felt like, I was sort of in this box there, you know, living in the South, that, really didn't encourage me to reach my fullest potential. But moving to California, I just expanded my awareness in so many different directions. And one of the things I learned about was herstory. And yes, and we do refer to it as herstory rather than history, because, you know, most of what we learn about history is all from a very male perspective, you know.
Yes.
Not only do we don't even learn that a goddess was worshipped on this planet 30,000 years ago, but, you know, you'll hear women scholars on Women's History Month talk about the dearth, the absence of women's history, because it just hasn't been written down, or because men tend to be the elite, the ones with the money, that they're the conquerors, they're the ones that have the leisure to be the writers. History is filled with man's accomplishments, and so often women's accomplishments are just disregarded. In fact, that's why so many women wrote under non-de-plumes, under male names, to be taken as credible. That's sort of the shift. And I mean, it's a longer story, I don't know if you want me to go into it, but it was that move, it was that move to California that opened my eyes to spirituality, because, I was never one of these religious zealots. I went to Catholic school. I can remember them picking me to put the wreath on Mary's head for special, her special feast days and things like that. But I always had this burning desire to learn about other cultures and other countries. And I loved looking at books from Egypt. And
oh, yeah.
I just wasn't like anybody I knew,
Something you said a bit ago, and I think this is somewhat true across the board for spiritualists, and I think it's actually part of the path, especially if you grow up in a family that's from whatever given religious denomination, not pointing a finger at any, but just in a general statement of fact, that when someone, especially if it's a fundamental dogmatic Christian point, or not Christian, just religious point of view, when you get to a place in your life and you start realizing that there is more truth than I've been offered, it does tend to want to piss you off.
Mm-hmm.
It did it to me. I heard you say that. I have many friends who are now on a spiritual and of course, we understand that's all purposeful. We can't blame the outside world. It's all self-creating, da-da-da-da-da. We get all that, but my point of it all is that is somewhat a part of the spiritual path is getting frustrated at the outside system and how it has deceived us into believing certain things and not tell us the entire truth about the divine feminine, about incarnations of goddess, Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus. I mean, look, I had an experience when I was 20-some-odd years old in the backyard of someone who was having multiple visitations by the Virgin Mary, and I got to experience this, and this was no crap. This was really happening in front of my face. The same kind of stuff that was going down at Fatima, I mean, the same experience was being had. I literally seen a rosary picked up out of his hand and brought into the sky. There was just a bunch of light phenomena, lots of things going on. And so I agree that there's a lot that has taken place in the past. For example, the Council of Nicaea. How much of that stuff, of even biblical, was removed from all these canons and from Biblia that, you know, that could have enlightened not only the feminine aspect of humanity so they could gain their power, but so that the male aspect of humanity could gain its power by humility towards the feminine spectrum.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, because it really, if people, you know, have a chance, you know, to get off that hamster wheel and do their homework, you know, and they really look, let's say, you know, let's talk about the history of Christianity. You know, by the time the Council of Nicaea happens, you know, I mean, it was all already getting dogmatic. It was all about, you know, male power, male, you know, male leadership. Before that, you know, the way Christianity really started, I mean, people would probably be surprised to learn that it was very pagan. You know, why do you think, you know, there's
yeah,
so many...
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm just giggling because it was so pagan, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, why do you think we have so many Christian sites that were built on top of pagan sites? Why do you think so many of our holidays really have pagan roots? Even Mardi Gras, I found out, is all about pagan roots. And I didn't know that the entire time I lived in New Orleans. But, you know, because you have to remember that Christianity, they were trying to convert the pagans, you know? And so there's so many, you know, so much that's been borrowed. You know, it would probably get a Christian angry when they see how unoriginal, you know, Christianity is. I mean, Jesus is just, you know, in the long line of dying and rising gods, because that's sort of a pagan idea, you know, a virgin goddess. There were virgin goddesses before Mary. I mean, I could go on and on, you know.
Yeah, people don't realize how many times Jesus has died and has been resurrected throughout the history of humankind. This has happened with Horus. I mean,
yes,
you will find this story in everywhere, and it's not necessarily the fact of the matter that Jesus was real, which I absolutely believe, and I'm sure everybody is. It's the point that it's so metaphorical that on every possible level of existence, as above, so below, it's all about dying unto the self so that one can resurrect. And that story has been told in the cosmos. It's been told galactically. It's been told earthly. It's told all the time. But I think the problem, to use a word, that people are having, they take certain things so literal, which should be very metaphorical, and they take things so metaphorical that they don't even have a grasp on the simple truth that gives the whole idea of foundation. For example, they take the birth of Christ through Mary in one perspective, and they don't really see the power in that event whatsoever, because how, you know, they would never equate Mary to be the equal of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my question to you is, how can a human give birth to God?
Yeah,
you can't. An
oak
tree always brings forth an oak tree. An apple tree always brings forth an apple tree. So Mary, on some level, was in her divinity, to be able to bring forth the seed of purity. She had to have her own purity. And you cannot separate purity from purity. So there is no hierarchy when it comes to these divine beings.
Well, I don't think there is either. And quite frankly, when we talk about all of these different goddesses, I'll use an analogy that a friend of mine uses because I think it's perfect. You know how a diamond has all of these multiple facets, you know? I think whatever the supreme source is, the architect, some people call it, the creator, the creatrix. You know, I think, you know, all of these names that we have for that, whether it be Isis or Mary or Horus or Jesus or Yahweh or Allah, you know, they're really all the very same consciousness, you know. It's just in our monkey minds. Because remember, you know, when so much of this was being written, people were illiterate. You had to simplify things. And, you know, and I blame, you know, like you were saying, so much of this is analogy and metaphor rather than, you know, than it being literal. I do believe that depending on where you come from, that, you know, the church authority wanted people to continue to be sheeple. I don't think they wanted them using critical thinking because that way they could control them, you know.
Thank you, Jesus.
And, you know, and when I go out and talk about the sacred feminine and try to, make people understand what I'm talking about, you know, I always say, look, I'll talk about it in three different ways. I'll either talk about it as a deity because, look, I believe that there's something out there, and I've had too many things happen to me to deny that she listens and she answers, you know. But some people don't believe that, so that's all right. You know, other people believe in, you know, God or goddess as an archetype, and if that's an unfamiliar word, sort of think of it as like a role model, you know, to help us sort of, you know, live up to certain standards or role model, you know. Then, mm-hmm. but then I think what's most important, you know, you can throw away all the labels and throw away all the names. I think probably the most important thing to me right now, considering the state of the world, is the ideals. You know, the values of the sacred feminine, because we have been living in a culture for thousands of years under the authoritarian father. And this happened because, going back to me, you know, being angry, you know, the powers that be, the church fathers, you know, of these monotheistic Abrahamic religions, so we're talking Judaism, we're talking Christianity, we're talking Islam, you know, they decided to sweep that feminine face of God beneath the rug. And so if your mythology, I mean, this is just sociology, this is just mythology, this
is
psychology, you know.
I don't mean to interrupt, but that is still reflective today in those cultures.
Yes, of course.
I mean, look how they dress. They have to cover the face. I mean, it is still part of that way.
That is a ramification that, you know, we're still paying for that decision thousands of years later. So when your mythology is only a male deity, you end up with male leadership and male authority. So it's a hierarchy. There's God, there's man, and then there's everything else. And that everything else is put on this planet to serve man. And so why do you think women are second-class citizens all around the world, whether we're talking wearing burqas, female genital mutilation, domestic violence, being paid 76 cents on the dollar? I mean, all of these things we believe stems back to the fact that women lost equality with men because of religion. And, you know, some people might, you know, raise their eyebrow or get upset because maybe I sound like I'm religion bashing. I don't mean to. This is just the facts of how it is. And the sacred feminine, when you restore the sacred feminine alongside the divine masculine, you get balance, you get wholeness, you get justice, you get equality, you get peace. You know, instead of this lopsided world we're living in, and it's lopsided in so many ways, you know, because humanity is obsessed with domination, exploitation, and, you know, rather than something that's, you know, not so extreme. You know, what the sacred feminine brings to the equation is partnership, negotiation, collaboration, you know, win-win situations rather than win-lose situations.
Yeah.
So imagine if we had had both of them all along, maybe the world would, you know, if we had seen deity in the face of goddess and God, men and women would have been equal, and we would have also valued the ideals of the sacred feminine alongside the masculine. You know, it wouldn't be survival of the fittest. It wouldn't be, you know, who's the biggest and the strongest. You know, we would be valuing, you know, nurturing and caring for one another and level playing fields, and, you know, rather than, you know, what we have today. And look how out of balance it's gotten. I think 80 people on the planet own most of the wealth.
Yeah,
80 people.
Right. Right, you know? Right. And, you know, an easier layman's terms for someone who may be trampling across this radio show. The sacred feminine, see it as the – think of God how you choose to. It doesn't matter. Just think about that image of God for you and your belief behind that God. What she's referring to, my wonderful guest, Ms. Karen Tate, is referring to, it's that aspect of God that has the quality of femininity. Love.
Right.
In fact, this is what she's trying to say. And I think this is an experience I had. I was driving in my car, make it sharp. I was driving home last night, of course this was in the past, from seeing some friends play music, and this energy came over me. It enveloped me. It said, "Hi, Keith, my name is Fabrisca. I am a fairy angel. Let's talk." And so we went into a dialogue. And eventually, after we got there, I felt compelled to ask her, "What is the pink bubble universe?" I kept hearing this in my consciousness for about a year or so. And she said, and this will describe the sacred feminine. And I think Karen can either correct me or support me. And this is Fabrisca's response to me. "Ah, it's so beautiful. It's like a baby sister. Pink, soft, gentle, new, fresh, warm, perfect. It's the place where all your woes, troubles, difficulties, concerns, and aches are wrapped into little pink bubbles, softening all of your pain. It's your divine mother's bosom, where you lay to rest to be nurtured, loved, and child. This is the place that you know as Christ. It is a place of divine grace, the place where everything is all right."
That's beautiful. And, you know, I would say that is probably 80%. I'm 80% in agreement with that. I would just add to it because there are also goddesses who are warrior goddesses. They are also goddesses who aren't so pink and fluffy, but they serve their purpose too. You know, they're the ones to teach us, you know, maybe the more difficult life lessons, so that we become strong, so that we become tenacious, so that we become self-empowered. You know, you look at the goddess Kali, for instance, or the Egyptian goddess Sekhmet. Sekhmet, for one, she is a lion-headed Egyptian goddess, and she is very popular right now with women and men because she is one who says, you know, yes, you can set healthy boundaries without guilt. You don't have to let people take advantage of you. You don't have to be a doormat, you know. But she says, and you know what? You can say yes to pleasure. You know, she, you know, think of a mother lioness. You know, she's agile, she's supple, she's strong. She goes out there and she hunts with the other lionesses. She brings back what her family needs to survive. That's an archetype. That's another archetype of the sacred feminine. Or there's the, I'll tell you two more just to add to that beautiful picture you described. The political goddess, Libertas, Lady Liberty. Now, here she is in New York Harbor, but we haven't just pulled her out of thin air and made her a goddess. On the Aventine Hill in Rome, the pagans, the Romans, they deified virtues. So they deified freedom. So Lady Libertas, her image has been used for centuries around the world for the downtrodden, you know, for freedom, for justice. Mm. Then there's the Inuit goddess. Now, the Inuits are people who live like in the icy waters of Alaska, Newfoundland, Greenland. You know, the indigenous people of the land who would maybe use the animals of the sea for their blubber, for their hides, for their teeth. Well, Sedna is an Inuit goddess, and Sedna is the environmental goddess because she teaches humankind not to be greedy. She says, yes, I will let you use the animals of the sea for your sustenance. You can use what you need, but the moment you get greedy and the moment you exploit and the moment you dominate and abuse these animals, you are cut off. Because domination and exploitation and greed, that doesn't work here, you see. So, you know, it's that loving pink bubble that we all, you know, want to have that nurturing and support, but it's also this other side too, you know, that teaches us to, you know, to stand up and be strong and you know, be the best that we can be, you know, an empowered self. But it's not power over, you know, it's power within, you know, so that you can become your authentic self, you know, so that you have the strength to maybe resist someone who wants to fit you into this narrow little box, you know. Maybe you're someone who's gay and you've been told you're an abomination. Well, you say, to hell with that, you know, kind of a thing. Or you're a woman who doesn't want to have children and your family wants you to have children, but you don't want to. And you say, well, the hell with that. You know, I can be who I want to be, and that's perfectly okay. Or you're a man who maybe doesn't like hunting and football, and you're you know, more sensitive, and you want to go into the arts, or you want to be a writer or an actor, and you know, you don't want to, you know, be the he-man type. And you know what? You say, to hell with that other stuff.
I did.
Does that make sense?
I did. I said the total crap with all that stuff. I'm just not into the hunting. I'm not into the sports, and I think it's wonderful that people have joys and it brings them pleasures and whatever it represents for them in their life. But, I just couldn't do the sports thing. I couldn't do the killing thing, and I love the writing.
And I bet that was hard on you growing up, huh? I mean, did you get a lot of pressure?
No, I knew as a child. I knew I was very, very confident, to use the word, in my skin as a child and what was real for me and what was solid. But
right.
I did have those times in my life where I had to stand up and say, to hell with it, you know, I'm just not going to stand for that. We're about to go to commercial break.
You threw off the 9 to 5 grind and you followed your own passion.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do, you know.
There's a learning curve for sure, depending on what family background you came from, what's the family beliefs, what is the core belief of your family unit, how long has that been passed down? How long has it been passed down is a very, very deep question. And because how deep is that ingrained in your cellular memory, in your DNA? I mean, there's a lot of factors. What are you being bombarded with through the media, through your church, through your peers, through your parents, so forth and so on. And you have to play a serious game of dodgeball. Because everybody's throwing these limited ideas and limited beliefs at you. Well, you can't do that. No, I know people who want to be florists, but they can't do that because it's in their head. But why is the guy down the street have a thriving business and been doing it for, you know, established for 25 years? You know, how come people say, well, Keith, I'd love to play music, but I can't do that? Why? For many, many years. So we've been, you know, dodging all these belief bullets from people. And after a while, we get grazed a couple of times, and we start believing, like, oh, wow, this is a very real bullet. I mean, these things are being thrown at me. I'm going to start taking heed of what some of these people are saying. We're about to go to commercial break, Karen. Can you hold that thought? Remember your thought. Would you, for now, please give out your contact information to our listening audience so they can find more about you, your marvelous books, and your wonderful work?
Oh, thank you. Well, the easiest place, the go-to spot, is my website, and it's my name, Karen Tate, karentate.com. That's karentate.com. I'm also on Facebook, Karen Tate. Either way will reach me. And, you know, while I am talking about that, you know, for your first three listeners that are in the United States who either email me or Facebook me and say they would like a copy of one of my books, I will send them one free as long as they're in the U.S.
Hey, what a deal. Love it. Karen, we're going to be right back. Listen, it's going to be right back. Keith Anthony Blanchard here with my awesome guest tonight, Karen Tate. We are talking about the sacred feminine, and I have a good subject I want to get on later. It's actually one of my all-time favorite words. It paints the most beautiful picture for me. It is actually my goal to use a word. 347-838-9142, 347-838-9142 is the number you call if you want to ask a question of myself or my awesome guest, Ms. Karen Tate, every Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm going to be right back. Commercial break.
The virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics at www.iam-core.org. That's www.iam-cor.org. You can see the 3-degree level program, the courses, and the text of the school. There are free ebooks and downloads, including the Searcher's Roadmap, the Core Document, and the Lightways E-Zine. Lightways E-Zine is a 25-page electronic magazine and includes a directory of all the shows and their guests from the RBR Network. The virtual campus of the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. You are invited to go to thelawsofmaterialwealth.com to view Jim Powell, my dear friends, comprehensive, proactive, interactive, ongoing program of personal development. It includes the book, The Laws of Material Wealth, The Laws of Material Wealth Workbook, 5 DVDs, a CD, 3 outline commentaries, and 54 weeks of support material with online coaching by Renfrew. The primary purpose of this program is to assist participants in the process of identifying and verifying the 13 Unity Principles of Success in their own life experiences. The workbook has 5 exercises in each chapter exclusively dedicated to this purpose. The online coaching can be accessed at www.iam-core.org. Again, that's www.iam-core.org.
Welcome back to the Center of Light Radio Show. This is Keith Anthony Blanchard. Look into the chat room. My dear brother, Profundity is in there. I'm only 45 miles from the U.S. border. And why are you telling me this, brother? Is this related to something, or I'm just not getting it because I'm medicine head and I'm kind of medicine drunk, just trying to stay balanced as best I can with this cold that came in yesterday and doing its number on me. One of my favorite all-time ideas, Karen, I want to read you a couple of tenets. This is the 3 tenets for my spirituality.
Okay.
The all-knowing tenet, if turning inward unites me with God, goddess, higher self, whatever term you use at the moment, then it makes sense to me that omniscience, which is peace, is my natural state. The all-powerful tenet, if turning inward unites me with God / goddess, then it makes sense to me that omnipotence, love, is my natural state. The all-pervading tenet, and this is the one I want to get your take on, is the magic word. It does a number to me when I think about it. If turning inward unites me with God, then it makes sense to me that omnipresence, liberation, is my natural state. And the reason I wanted to talk about liberation, I'm looking here at your bio, and one of the subtitles, I believe, in your book is Inspirational Messages and Meditations of Sacred Feminine Liberation Theology.
Yeah.
What is liberation for you? How would you describe liberation to our listening audience? What is it? And I don't mean this freedom in America. Woohoo, we can carry our guns and
I can't answer it in a soundbite, okay? But I'd say liberation from patriarchy. That would be the closest soundbite I could give you. Now, liberation from patriarchy, what do I mean by that? Patriarchy means rule of the father or rule of men. And that's sort of what we have been talking about. You know, we have on the globe for the most part, you know, society is ruled by the authoritarian father and by men. Like I said before, if your mythology only has a male face of God, you end up with male leadership, and you end up with everything else in service to male leadership. Well, yeah. You know, you look at what that has cost so many of us, mostly women, but a lot of men too. And we've sort of been dancing around the edges, you know, talking a little bit about it, maybe not just calling it liberation, but isn't it freedom when you can say, no, if I'm a gay person, I am not going to worry that the evangelicals down the street tell me I'm an abomination. If you're a woman and, you know, you want to, think of how women were restricted to the jobs they could even have not that long ago, you know, because society said, you know, there were women's jobs and there were men's jobs. Well, things have gotten better for women, but women are still, for the most part, only making 76 cents on the dollar. That means women's time, women's experience, what women bring to the table is not as valuable in this patriarchal world, you know. The fact that women are caught up in these cycles of violence with female genital mutilation or human trafficking. You know, this is all part of our patriarchal world. And when we are liberated from patriarchal dominance, from patriarchal exploitation, because let's face it, women have been cheap labor, minorities have been cheap labor. You know, we are living on a planet that has been about domination. It has been, you know, whites over blacks, men over women, big corporations against little corporations, corporations against workers, you know, the rich against the poor.
We can't forget that system is very good at putting everybody else that you just described against each other.
Yes, yes.
Compounded.
Well, yeah, they create these wedge issues. I mean, look at what Fox News does, okay? Fox News just pits people against one another. You know, oh, it's the brown-skinned people. It's the liberals. It's the people in Hollywood. It's the Democrats, you know. It's those union workers, you know. It's those takers. It's those welfare queens, you know. All of these horrible people if the 99% stood together in solidarity, there wouldn't just be 80 people holding most of the wealth in the world. But what happens is we get distracted by racism, by sexism, by religious beliefs that divide us, you know, all of these different things that prevent us from being, prevent us from collaborating, preventing us from achieving oneness, if you will, you know, because that's really what we want. You know, we want partnership, we want collaboration, we want to try to create win-win situations so that everybody benefits, rather than we have winners and losers, and it could be done. I mean, I was amazed to hear Bill Clinton talking to David Letterman one night about win-win situations, and he said something that I actually didn't know, but apparently win-win situations are with people who do gaming. It's part of game theory or something.
Yes, that's right.
You know? So So maybe, you know, some of your audience might understand it better that way. Because, you know, imagine, you know, I use a little exercise when I do workshops, and I have two people stand opposing one another, and I say, look into each other's eyes and make your, you know, hold your, you know, your hands at shoulder length and make your hands meet. Okay, so they're standing there eye to eye, hand to hand. I say, okay, you're two corporations and you're battling it out. And one corporation is going to go down the tubes and the other is going to survive. Show that to me. You know, so what do? They start pushing up against one another, pushing and, you know, and it becomes this struggle. And and eventually one pushes the other one down on the floor and one is out and dead and the other survives. Yay! Okay, so then we do it again. And we, you know, stand up the same position. I mean, I know this is oversimplifying it, but it's sort of, you can visually see it. You know, take the same position and say, okay, you know, you're two corporations now, and your MO is not to obliterate the other company. You know, you're going to find solutions that you both can live with, you know. How are you going to do that? And it's so funny because the energy changes. Their faces relax, they smile, you know, and some people actually dance, you know, because you know going in that it isn't a fight to the death. It's not survival of the fittest, you know. It's not the biggest and the strongest is going to win, because you know what? The biggest and strongest isn't always the smartest and the best.
So, you got that right.
So you know what I'm saying? So it's this idea that we are in partnership, whether it be with the country across the ocean or the corporation down the street or your partner or your employer. Because look, remember when employers used to make 50 times more than their worker? Well, now some of them make as much as 350 or more times their worker. There is nobody worth that kind of money, I'm sorry, unless they're curing cancer. You know?
Yeah, if
you know what I mean. It's gotten so out of balance because these people aren't worth that. And how are they ever going to spend that much money in their lifetime anyway? And look at the people they are exploiting and dominating and using, and, you know, the callousness of that. It's not a partnership anymore. We are not in it together. In fact, how many of these corporations look at their employees as parasites? You know?
Yeah,
they want benefits? You know what I mean?
You know, we can look back in the past. These corporations, I mean, you know, this is not about placing blame on anyone other than taking the power that we have within ourselves and using that to create a world of heaven on earth or a blissful place that we can all get along. When, you know, I saw a post on social network the other day, you're familiar with the coexist sticker, and someone said, well, how can I coexist with people who are trying to kill me? And I just thought to myself, you know, I can say this because I'm an American, because I'm a white dude. And what I say is, you know, brown-skinned people are not trying to kill you. And, you know, don't go blame a race of people because of the radicals that happen to be Muslim. You know, you want to look at that? Look at the Christian radicals. There's no radical groups that are going over there. Mind you ever heard of the United States military? And, you know, most of the United States military is Christian. So from their point of view, this entire race of people, this entire group of people that's coming under a Christian umbrella is doing the same thing. So you're basically looking at a coin with two different sides. It's one coin of two different sides. Trust me when I tell you, listening audience, those people who have children in those little huts that are raising two sons and a daughter, and the father's eking out a living, God knows what he's doing on his hands and knees to make money to put food in those kids' mouth, is every bit as passionate about having peace in the world as you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's those crazy sons of bitches out there that are doing this stupid this stuff that is just making us believe the perpetual story that what the media has fed us is right. Those people on that side of the planet want to come over here and destroy Americans, and the excuse that's being used is because they're jealous.
Yeah.
I don't buy it at all.
Well, and you know, the funny part about it is, you know, the United States has slipped so far from being number one in so many different areas. I mean, you know, it's funny, they always say, oh, you know, those socialists over in Europe. Well, let me tell you, those socialists over in Europe have social safety nets. They don't live the way we live. You don't have homeless, you know, in the street. You know, you don't have to worry about health care. You know, we are so so far behind. I mean, in Scandinavian countries, for instance, they have something called the 40% solution. And after you have gotten a free education, okay, on the dime of the country, okay, which is taxpayer funded, okay, admittedly, but everybody gets a free education, higher education, they, you know, the state feels like, well, they want to take advantage of their investments. So they passed this rule about 5 years ago that corporations had to have 40% leadership of women in, you know, on corporate boards. Well, at first the good old boys balked, but then 5 years into it, they realized that their companies actually benefited from different points of view. You know, here in the United States, we have less than 20% of women's leadership in corporate America, in the hierarchy of religious institutions, in academia, and in Congress. You know, women are more than 50% of the population, and they're nowhere near being represented in leadership in this country, you know, in proportion, you know, to their numbers. Again, in the Scandinavian countries, when a family has a baby, the father and the mother are expected to each take 6 months off. They also have something akin to Social Security for women or men who may have to stay home to take care of an aging parent or stay home to take care of small children. It's not like here where you get nothing, and then if you were a woman who maybe had to stay home and take care of your aging parents for 20 years until they died, and, you know, then you have nothing. You know, if you couldn't work, you have no Social Security. You have nothing. So, I mean, they're so far advanced in terms of real family values and really taking care of their people, you know. And the United States, I mean, just lags behind in so many progressive ideas that would really help the average person.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing I want to announce, we're coming closely to the top of the hour. Center of Light Radio every Monday night. Keith Blanchard in. I do appreciate you. My guest tonight is Karen Tate. Something I want to share. I'm really, really excited that Marion Williamson is running for Congress. There's lots of first in that. She is coming from a completely different school of thought than anyone that's ever stepped into that arena. And
yeah.
I get the feeling when she gets in there, she's going to start kicking some ass. She's going to make some changes, because if you listen to her when she talks, if you read her books, you find out where this person is coming from. The lady is absolutely connected. There is no political agenda in this human being. There is none.
Well, yeah, she's out here in California, and I get emails almost every other day about places she's speaking, and, you know, she's trying to raise money. And, you know, that if you would, that reminds me of the documentary that her and I are both in, called Femme, Women Healing the World. And I'd like to just mention it to your listeners. You know, it's one of these remarkable documentaries. It's very courageous. I mean, it was made by Wonderland Entertainment, Emmanuel Etier, this great guy from France, Renaissance man, very aware, high consciousness guy, some funding from Sharon Stone, the actress, started it all going. And, you know, he went around the world interviewing women, and he was inspired by, you know, the Dalai Lama saying it would be women who would heal the world. In his previous documentary, he realized that women really had a different message. And I was lucky enough to have a little part in it, and Marianne Williamson is in it, Rhian Eisler, Jean Houston, just on and on and on. And it starts off at the beginning. I mean, it's courageous enough to say, yes, there were goddesses 30,000 years ago, and people used to revere them. And when people used to revere them, women had a more elevated place in society. And then patriarchy comes along. Now, it doesn't bash men, okay, because we know that men have suffered from patriarchy as well, but it offers wonderful solutions. And it explains how all of this has come to be and why it is, and that, you know what, we don't have a lot of time left to turn the ship around. We really have to get on the stick and get up off our sofas and do what we can wherever we feel passionate to try to help, you know, join forces, so to speak, solidarity. Because, you know, the message in the end, the ultimate message, I've said it over and over again, but Keith, I hope you don't mind I punctuate it. It is partnership. We have to partner with each other. You know, we have to find common ground with each other to come together to save ourselves, to save the planet. Because, you know, things are dire out there, whether we're talking economically for some people, or we're talking climate change, or we're talking, you know, this planet just being obsessed with domination and war and exploitation. We really do need to right the ship so that this, you know, it isn't all about everything for the 1% and nothing for the rest of us.
I couldn't agree with that even more. We're at the top of the hour. Karen, I would invite you back anytime you would like to come. Is there anything in closing you would like to leave our listening audience with? And when you're done with that, if you would, again, please give out your contact information one more time.
Well, I would just say, please understand that the sacred feminine is not about crazy women who want to take over the world and subjugate men. Not at all. This is about equality and partnership and collaboration and negotiation and peace and love and wholeness for all of us men and women standing together side by side in partnership. And I would just say, please go to my website at KarenTate.com. Listen to my radio show. I've been doing it for 8 years. There's lots of archives there on Blog Talk. It's called Voices of the Sacred Feminine. And don't forget, I'm giving out those 3 free books.
Wonderful. Karen, again, you're welcome back on this program anytime you like. Everyone, Ms. Karen Tate, make sure you check out her work, some of her books. Maybe make sure you check out the movie. And what is the title of that movie again? A film, isn't it? F-E-M-M-E,
okay.
Is it right?
Thank you. Femme, F-E-M-M-E, Women Healing the World. You can either stream it live on the Internet. Just go Google it, Femme the Movie, F-E-M-M-E, the movie. You can also find it from the first page on my website, Karen Tate. If you scroll down, you'll see the logo. It's the Earth. Or you can actually download your own copy for, I think it's maybe $14 or something, but $4.99, I believe, you get to see it streaming free. And pretty soon there's going to be DVDs, but please, it is must viewing. Use it as a book club thing, you know, use it as a movie night. Show it to your friends. You can actually have a screening in your hometown. Use it as a fundraiser. All of that stuff is at the website, Femme the Movie.
Fantastic job. Karen, again, thank you for being on the Center of Light Radio. We will be in touch with you soon and get you back here in the near future, if that's okay with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Keith. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun, especially knowing that you're down south from where I come from. We'll have to talk crawfish boil next time.
I love it, love it, love it. Again, thank you. Everyone, this is Keith Anthony Blanchard with the top of the hour, which means it's time for Bonzo to go get some more medicine. Well, maybe not. Maybe I'll just do some breathing. You know, when you have a cold, you don't feel like doing much. So it might be a NyQuil night for me. Who knows? A couple announcements again. You can go to KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com, B-L-A-N-C-H-A-R-D, KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com, to download the free Anchoring Heaven on Earth audio meditation. You can also go to DoWhatYouLoveTheMovie.com. If you've not been to that website yet, you don't have to go to buy the movie just yet. Just go and check out the trailer, check out the movement, Do What You Love Worldwide Movement. It's a project that I am starting. Everybody gets to do what they love, as we talked about with Karen on the show. It's nothing better than a win-win scenario all across the board. It is a win-win for everyone. Everyone gets to live their passion. The world begins to have peace because nobody's quibbling about this or that, because you're busy living your passion. You just don't care about the few that are left that are just arguing. You just don't care. Also, you can go to Amazon.com, look up The Divine Principle, Anchoring Heaven on Earth, author myself, Keith Blanchard. You can also find Eden Sky Wonders Why while you are there. And also know that I'm about helping people. I'm about extending my hand to those who really want a leg up in this life. Feel free to contact me at KeithAnthonyBlanchard@gmail.com. I'm not that hard to contact you back. I have no reservations about picking up a phone, sending you an email. I'll do that at the drop of a dime. If you have something you want to ask me that you feel that somehow, if I can help you, that I can point you in the direction of someone who will, whatever that may mean for you where you are in your life, if it's a physical ailment, if it's something emotional, if it's something spiritual, or you just have a question, something simple that may be simple for someone else, but very, very profound for you to have solved, not really, I'm not trying to fix you, but something that can help you lighten your load, then you contact me at KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com. It'd be my joy, my pleasure, and my bliss to do that for you. Once again, every Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, I bid you all a wonderful evening, and always remember, into bliss.